over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 this morning. If you'll stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Isn't that amazing? God spoke and He fit everything in its place, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4. "By faith Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." And watch this. "And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Thank you for standing this morning. Isn't it amazing how faith will let you say something when you're dead? Matter of fact, I wonder what some of you are going to be saying when you die. Now, these characters have illuminated in my heart. And I want you to notice that, first of all, they're all by faith. You're not going to do anything for God till you realize this thing of faith. We find three characters there before the flood. Verse 4, there's Abel. Verse 5, there's Enoch. Verse 6, there's Noah. We find, first of all, the first character of Abel. We find him worshiping, because he worshiped by the blood. We find the second character, Enoch, he's walking. And then we find the third character in verse 7, Noah, while he's working. And isn't it amazing that God inserted worship first? You see, until only you learn to worship can you walk. And you're not going to work nor walk until, first of all, you learn to worship. Now, faith is very important. A lot of people say, "Well, I have faith." If you have faith, you'll worship. And so this morning, this timely principle, I want us to turn over now to where God has wrote about this character in Genesis 4, you can save your place in Hebrews 11. Let's look in Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 1. But Tim, if you'd cut me some air on, I'd be grateful. Genesis 4 and verse number 1. "And Adam knew Eve his wife," and that's the way it ought to be. Amen. This premarital sex, it ain't of God. Shacking up ain't of God. Adultery sure ain't of God. And so Adam knew Eve his wife. That's the way it works. Young ladies, you ought to marry a husband. Young men, you ought to marry a wife. Somebody say amen. Now if you don't help me preach, it's going to be a long 40 minutes. And watch this, "And she conceived." Now that's the order. "And bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Aren't you glad He's a God of second chance this morning? I mean, look at your Bible. This boy ain't got to die and go to hell. Let me tell you, you ain't got to die and go to hell. He said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Aren't you glad that He accepts sinners? He died and He paid a ransom for all. He didn't just die for a few, He died for all. He paid the price for all. That's the sound of the gospel. Come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. He said, "If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel thy brother?" And he is a smart aleck. God's always got a spot for a smart aleck. He said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" He had an attitude. Hey, you just go on and get you an attitude with God. You go on and do things your way, you'll find yourself in hell one morning. God don't play around about this thing of eternity. Some of you playing around with God about eternal things. Eternity's going to grab you one morning, ain't going to turn you loose. And how eternity finds you, it keeps you that way. He said, "Your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, he don't know nothing yet, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." This morning I want to preach on this principle of Abel worshipped by blood. Abel worshipped by blood. Now you'll notice in the text of Hebrews 11, there was an excellent sacrifice. The Bible said, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." First of all, I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 4, there's the absence of worship. You know, nothing's changed today. There's still a big absence of worship. We got a lot of churches, Brother Lee, and they got on the sign, "Worship Hour." But I'm not sure it's a lot of worshiping going on. There's a lot of absence of worship happening in our Baptist church. I'll just talk about Baptists a little while. Worship. I tell you, one thing worship means, it means reverence. You don't come in the house of God with your sunglasses cocked up on your head. And you don't come in the house of God, sir, with a cap on your head. And sir, you sure don't wear short breeches in the house of God. Somebody say amen up there. And ladies, you don't wear a skirt hacked up above your little hiney neither. Some of you went to Belk's at the half price sale and bought you half a dress. No wonder it didn't cost but $4. Didn't have but a dollar worth of material in it. Somebody say amen right now. Worship means reverence. Worship means bowing down. It means make to stoop, prostrate. It means to pay an homage to royalty. Honey, let me tell you, He deserves our praise. If it wasn't for the blood of the Lord Jesus, we'd all die and go to hell in our sin this morning. There was an absence of worship. Worship was absence of what was going on. But God had something in mind. God said, I'm going to devise a plan how you can worship. And so He says this in John's Gospel, chapter number 4. I'll read it. You won't have to turn. But He said, ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He's looking for you to worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you don't have God's Spirit, you can't worship God. A lot of people come to the house of God and worship. And Brother Tim, something bothers me about a church of this caliber. When we're singing and raising hands and praying, I don't see many people raising their hand. You must forget about what our sign says out there. It's worship service at 11 o'clock. It's set aside to worship Him. We're not here to worship Baptists. We're not here to see what you're wearing, what you're driving. We've come together, what the song leader said this morning. Hope you're here for the right reason, and that is to worship God in spirit and in truth. There's a formality of worship going on, and God says, I'm against formality. I'm going to put something in place that you may worship Me. And that is sacrifice. Now there was an absence of worship. There was no worship going on in Genesis 4. But thank God, there is an approach of worship. God said, I'm going to give you a way to worship. And Hebrews 11:4, He said it was by faith. And it's still by faith. Now watch your Bible. It's always by faith, and it's always by sacrifice. Now, I want to say something dogmatically this morning. A lot of times, we love to gloat about our little tithing. And you know, that's just a starting spot. You'll notice that any worship, if it's not sacrifice involved, it's not worship. If some of you don't feel a tithe, you ought to go to give an offering. It's pretty easy to tithe. I've got used to it. It ain't a big sacrifice. But it is a sacrifice to give above my tithe. Matter of fact, there's more Bible principle about giving sacrificially than anything else. And there's something about sacrifice. God honors sacrifice. Hey, I tell you the reason you ain't getting no help where you live, because you won't sacrifice your flesh coming to church. God honors sacrifice. It's easy come Sunday morning. What about Wednesday night, Sunday night? God honors sacrifice. Hey, God loves sacrifice so much, it's hard to put flesh on the cross and do right. But He honors sacrifice. Like Brother Gerald says, I know old saying of mine, honey, let me tell you, you'll never go wrong doing right. Boy, God honors sacrifice. Hey, church, you know why God's honored this ministry so? It's been sacrifice put in. The problem is, when we go to get blessed, we forget about the sacrifice. We forget about the blesser and look on the blessing. Now, I'm trying to preach to you this morning. There may not be 9 here tonight, but I tell you, I'll be with the 9. The Holy Ghost will be with us. Now God made an approach to worship. And this is what He said, the approach of worship. Watch what the Bible says in Genesis 4 now. He said in verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Now there's an approach of worship. It's always by faith and it's always by sacrifice. You're not going to get to God except by two ways. Faith and sacrifice. You got to have faith in the sacrifice that Christ has applied for you on an old rugged cross. Or you cannot worship God, for you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Your spirit is wrong. My spirit was wrong. We got to have God's spirit in us. He has to access our spirit by His spirit that we may have fellowship one with another, that we may worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now there's an approach of worship. There's always three things prevalent of worship that God designed. I don't know if you've noticed here in verses 4 or 5. Only two verses, but it speaks volumes. Notice this approach of worship. First of all, there was a place of worship. In verse 3, the Bible said, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. There was a place of worship. I'm glad we have this designated as a place of worship. I wonder, Brother Lee, I wonder how come people leave here sometimes and say, I'm not going back to that church. Why, they're too emotional. I'm not going back to that church. Why, they cry. They're loud and say amen and shout and run and cry and go to the altar. That's exactly right. Because we got a sign on the highway, Liberty Baptist Church, worship hour, 11 o'clock. It ain't time to roll cars in the floor. It ain't time to be telling sports jokes. It's time to be worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. The place of worship, it's a dedicated place. It's set aside and it ought to be a special place. You ought not throw your cigarette butts down on the parking lot. If you open up your car door and a piece of paper falls out, you ought to bend your worthless hide down and pick it up. Somebody say amen. They'll walk by and throw their beer cans on God's parking lot. No respect to the place of worship, but they had a place to worship. You say, preacher, I've got faith. Okay then, why don't you show up to worship? Y'all look like you need preaching back here. I'll bring you preaching back here this morning. I say, if you're living by faith, then faith always accesses worship. They had a place to worship. I don't know where it was. Somebody said it was on the east of the garden. All I know, it was a designated place to worship God. This is not a place for a car show. This is not a place for a bake sale or a barbecue day. Honey, this is the house. Oh, somebody help me preach a while this morning. It's a dedicated place set aside to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not a lot of worship going on. Now here, this approach, they had a place to worship. I don't know where it was. I don't know what it looked like, but they both came to the place. I tell you what faith will do, honey. It'll make you put the bass boat in the garage. It'll make you put the golf clubs in the trunk. It'll make you put the deer rifle in the rack. It'll make you go to the house of God. Would somebody help me preach a while this morning? Faith will always take you to a place of worship. And a lot of you, you're telling on yourself, you ain't got faith because you can't make it to worship. Would somebody holler, good preaching, pastor? There was a place of worship. Number 2, verse 4, there was an altar in worship. Churches is not going to have worship service unless they have an altar. Thank God we can use an altar. Thank the Lord our babies know a little something about the altar. But listen, they ain't going to know nothing about the altar unless you take them to the altar. Brother Gerald had a great message this morning. Some of you taking your babies to Moab out yonder, you're leading them to hell, and hell's going to keep them, and hell's going to get you too. You got to train your babies to the altar. You know why my grandbaby goes to an altar? They've seen their mom and daddy go to an altar. You know why your grandbabies? Because they've seen you go to the altar. The approach of worship by faith and sacrifice. There was a place and there was an altar. Now I love this. I'm fixing to lap the building. Verse number 3, not only, Brother Matt, was there a place and was there an altar, there was a time to worship. Guess what our time is? 11 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Look what it says. Verse 3, I got Bible. Poot your lips out all you want. Hey, don't you go home and have the preacher for lunch. Praise God. I hope you need 2 glasses of water to get me down today. Not only did they have a place of worship and an altar in worship, they had a time for worship. Verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I can tell that ain't doing nothing to y'all, but it done a lot for me. Time of worship. A lot of y'all think, oh Lord, it's church time. You ought to turn flip and say, praise God, it's church time. Praise God. Let me ask y'all something. Y'all got any idea how far these kids drive to church? Anybody got any idea how long people's driving to this church? Nearly an hour one way. Sound like to me they wanting to get in on worship. There is a time of worship. Son, I go to Roanoke Trade Day some Wednesdays. It amazes me how far y'all drive to church. One of the most faithful families we got. You know something? Brother Randall and them just don't live on the curb next door. You ever been over there in Armurchie? Armoochie, whatever that is. Arbacoochie. Somebody say amen right there. I know it was a moochie or a murchie. I remember it's got a sign, Hurricane Church, on the road. Ought to be a lot of them listed Hurricane. The approach, there was a place, there was an altar, there was a time. And fourthly, there was a prescribed means of worship. God could only be approached by sacrifice. There's a designated means of worship. You're not going to get to God any other way but by sacrifice. The absence of worship, the approach of worship. But then look in verse 4. There is the acceptance of worship. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Acceptance of worship. But then there's also an admonishment or a warning to worship. Look what the Bible says. Verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance failed. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Now there is an admonishment. First of all, he accepted Abel's. But Cain, he did not accept. He refused it. You see, Cain's offering was a bloodless one. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, it was a bloodless sacrifice. Hebrews chapter number 9, and I'll go to my grave believing this verse. He said, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now his offering, I'll tell you why God refused Cain's offering, because it was a bloodless one. You know, we live in a day, in a society. Now, preacher, are you going to be old-fashioned enough to preach about blood and hell? I sure am. And I believe the Bible says you must be born again by the grace of God. You must believe by faith and trust the grace that God's given you. Man must be born again to go to heaven. And it takes the blood sacrifice to get us there. Not the blood sacrifice of bulls and goats, but that of the Lord Jesus Christ that shed His holy, His spotless and sinless blood that we could go to heaven. Thank God for the blood this morning. Somebody said there's a book being designed by the Southern Baptists that they're going to take the blood out of their songs. Well, let them take it out of song. Let it take it out of their phony baloney scripture. Honey, the blood still stands this morning. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The devil did not defeat Christ on the cross. God sent him on the cross. The cross was not a defeat, praise God, it was a victory. Victory in Jesus, praise God. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. The rejection of His sacrifice was a bloodless sacrifice. And then His offering was a bloodless one, but His offering consisted of fruit of His own toil. A product of His own labor. Works of His own hands. Can I tell you, water baptism is a work. Passing out tracts is a work. Giving your money is a work. But not the blood of Jesus. It's a sacrifice. And so His offering consisted of fruit of His own toil. You know, He forgot something about the fruit of the ground. I don't want to belittle this man. I understand a little bit about farming. I know that farming's probably the hardest work that any family could ever be involved in. There's great preparation goes on in farming. The Bible said that he was a tiller of the ground. It was hard. He didn't have the modern day machines that we've got. Honey, he was digging in the ground. He was working by the sweat of his brow. He had blisters on his hands. He is doing everything he knew to do. And he brought it to God. And he said, your best ain't good enough. Your sweat can't get you there. Your track can't get you there, but the blood of the Lord Jesus of Calvary's cross can get you there this morning. He was a tiller. He was a hard worker. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. How many times have you heard that? You tell, look, have you ever accepted Christ? Have you ever been saved? Has your sins ever been washed away? They say, well, I'm a good person. The Bible contradicts that. He brought the fruit of the ground, but he forgot what God said in Genesis 3:17. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The ground's cursed. You notice you don't have to fertilize or plant thistles. They just come up on their own. You know why? Because it's cursed. It's cursed. The admonishment of worship. In Romans chapter number 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. For all, who's that? For all of sin come short of the glory of God. People say, I really believe a lot of times the devil hoodwinks people and says, you know what? If I make a move by faith and I walk down and give my life to Christ down that altar, people's going to talk, they think I'm a bad person. You know what? You are a bad person. And I'm a bad person. And we're all a bad person. Because you're exactly right. You are a bad person. Because Romans said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinners don't go to heaven. And so we see that in Romans 3 in verse number 10. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Brother Lee, I've met a lot of men in the ministry, years of preaching. I've seen a lot of saints. There's a couple really stands out in my mind this morning. I didn't even think about preparing this sermon, but this popped in my mind. But Lee, I guess you had one of the best daddies. One of the most humble men I've ever met in my life. Matter of fact, his vocabulary consisted of hun. Mainly hun. I don't know that I ever went over there that I didn't have prayer with your daddy and mama. He wouldn't call upon the Lord. You know what he'd say? He'd say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if I've ever met a man that was more humble than that man. As a matter of fact, I went home and told my dad-in-law one day, Brother Mike, I said, I've met one of the most precious men I've ever met. He said, oh, it ain't nobody like Brother Grover. But Brother Grover was a sinner. Brother Grover didn't have a righteous bone in his body. But one day he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God declared Grover righteous because of a blood sacrifice. I try to be a good preacher to y'all. I do, sister. I try to live right. God help me. I try to live right, sister. But the best day of my life, I'm as guilty and filthy and on my way to hell if it wasn't for the grace of Calvary's cross. I can't throw no stones. Can you? I've done things I don't want to put on a chalkboard up here and tell this crowd this morning. But I tell you one thing. In spite of what you may think of this old country preacher, when God sees me this morning, He sees righteousness by the blood of Calvary's cross. Because there was a day when I stepped by faith and accessed what He had for me. And that was His darling Son and the death He gave that He may declare me righteous. Isn't it amazing that between you and hell this morning is just a step of faith? Isn't it amazing the only thing that got you to heaven is a step of faith? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, I like to always back up preaching by Bible. He said Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ain't none of us can save ourselves this morning. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If I was a billionaire, gave this church $500 million, it won't put me a better spot than what you've got in glory. You can't buy your way in, that's works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I got baptized and I went deeper than you went. I got baptized in the river of Jordan, that makes me a little closer. All of that's of works. I thank God there's a plan of grace for us. Grace is mercy extended, friend. Thank God for grace and mercy. Abel worshiped by the blood. There was an acceptance of worship. He accepted Abel's because it was a sacrifice. And then I close with these few thoughts. Not only is there the absence of worship and the approach made to worship, glad God made a way for us by sacrifice, there's acceptance of worship. God showed us that. And there's an admonishment of worship. He rejected some. Why did He reject them? Because the way He rejects people today, they don't come to Him by His way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but there's the ways of death. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. There's the admonishment of worship, but then there's the assurance of worship. Did you know what Hebrews said? This is a very deep verse. It's wonderful. Hebrews 11:4, I'll read it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Here it is. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Now there's an assurance of worship. First of all, he obtained witness. How did God show that he accepted a sacrifice in the whole Bible? The Levitical priesthood with Aaron, the first sacrifice that he ever offered to God, the Bible said fire fell and consumed the sacrifice off of the altar. I believe within the precepts of this book and the teachings of it, I believe that fire fell and God consumed Abel's sacrifice. And you know what he brought? He brought the best he had. The best little lamb and the fat there. The choicest one that he had. Fire fell and consumed his offering. And there is Cain. God had not respect unto his. And the Bible said that in the book of Hebrews that God, testifying of his gifts, by which he obtained witness that he was right. He obtained a witness that he was right. Boy, aren't you glad we got a no-so salvation? I'm so glad. Let me tell y'all something. That Sunday morning that I got saved, I stepped out right here and I believe with all my heart, when I did this, God saved me. God didn't save me down there because my heart turned right there when I went to Him. It wasn't nothing I said. My heart turned to Christ. I accepted what He'd done for me. Now He said that He testified and declared Him right. He let Him know He was all right. Has the Holy Ghost ever let you know you was all right? Boy, this morning, He led that song. The Holy Ghost just flooded my heart. I'm glad the Holy Spirit lives in me. You know, I would hate to know that I pastored a congregation like this. And judgment day, I stood up and gave an account because you died and went to hell because I didn't tell you the truth. He said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal. Do you know you've got eternal life? He said, God testifying of these things. Let me tell you, friend, when you get saved, God will testify to you that you got in. All right, how's He testify to you, preacher? Well, the Bible says, you don't do the things you used to do. Can you go and live like the devil and it don't bother you? Then you ain't got the Holy Ghost in you. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to say it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If you ain't got enough God in you to get you to church, now you think I'm just being mean and lambasting, I'm not. If the churchgoer don't live in you, you better check up. There's days I don't feel like going to church, but it's something inside of me that's a pulling me this direction. Let me ask you, do you like preaching? If you don't like preaching, there's something wrong with you. There's either sin in your life or you've never been saved. Do you pray to God and does He manifest His Spirit to you? Do you enjoy the saints of God? Do you love God? We love Him because He first loved us. The world ain't thinking about God this morning. They're dead in trespasses and sin. I mean, do you really love God? He ought to be your life. It ought to be a lifestyle. People say, oh, I've got faith, preacher. Then why ain't it led you to worship? I've preached 23 years to learn this message. There's some profound statements in there, Brother Gerald. If I've got faith, I'm going to worship. Now, worship's different. You ain't got to run around like me and Brother Dennis and jump pews. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, if God lives in you, you will respond to His Spirit by your spirit. You can't make me think to be in a church like this where the Holy Ghost is. And if you cannot worship Him in spirit, it must mean that His Spirit's not in you. Faith. Thank God by faith. Then I close. Not on the assurance of worship. God testified. I love what Paul said. He said, I know in whom I believed and I am persuaded. How do you get persuaded? You know, I come down and make a profession. Brother Mike say, now preacher, you know you're saved. You know you're saved. No, he ain't going to persuade me. The Holy Ghost is big enough to persuade me, buddy. I got in. You hear me? I may not have a bunch, but I got in that morning, Brother David. You know how I know I got in? My life changed. I love God. I love preaching. I love the Word. You say, well, preacher, you're a preacher. You ought to like it. Well, I don't like it when it's cutting me. But I do. It's just something about a man feel the Holy Ghost up preaching does something for me. And if that don't do something for you, you better be checking in. Well, if you got God in you or not. You know, isn't it amazing? And I'm not running rabbits, I'm still preaching, but I'm about done. Isn't it amazing? This man said something last Sunday. This man gets up and follows it. And there's a man sitting right back there in a black shirt. God dealt with him about it. God speaking to somebody about going to a far country. God's speaking to somebody about getting some glue in you and standing up and doing what's right for your family. Brother Jerry, I was this close to letting you go through that again this morning. Now, if this wasn't burning on me, so I'd have done it. But I want to ask you something. Have you worshipped by the blood? Now, look what it says, and I'm done. Hebrews number 11, he said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And then the last verse, I've already said it, he said, but yet he was dead, but yet speaketh. You know what faith will let you do? Faith will let you talk to somebody when you done left out of here. Brother Grover's face talking to me this morning. Megan Macy, I hope to the God in heaven, if it's anything that I've accomplished, anything, I hope you babies outlive your daddy. And when you walk by and you look at that coffin, I hope, Brother Joe, they turn around and tell the four or five that comes, my daddy worshipped God. And God made a difference in my daddy. You stand this morning. Sissy, I want you to come. I want you to sing. I want to ask you, first of all, have you ever worshipped by the blood? Have you ever come to God by faith? and trusted the Lord Jesus to save you. I'm not talking about playing church. I'm asking you, have you ever brought the sacrifice that's acceptable to God? And that'll be by faith of His darling Son. Number two, Daddy, it's been a lot said about going out to Moab. You know, I think about the members of our church. But David, I'm glad God saved you one day. But David, am I preaching right?
Yes, sir.
Made a difference, didn't it? Miss Sherry, make a difference. Brother Mike, it'll get you out of the pool room, won't it, brother?
Yes,
brother Randall, it'll make you leave family, won't it? Oh, God, if we could worship Him. Because He seeks such as those to worship Him. God, it is my heart to have a place as they had a place. To worship Him by the supreme sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning?